Okay, here goes. Guess what we're talking about tonight? Pesach. So the Mishnah says that we are not to have less than 4 cups of wine by the Seder night. Lo yifschu lo ma'arba. They must not, when they're giving out tzedakah, they can't give out less than four. That's a debate, actually. But we have to have at least four. So when the guy, normally, we don't tell people to borrow money. We don't tell people to take charity. One of the exceptions is Pesach. Pesach, it says, if you don't have money, you know what you do? You sell your clothing. You borrow money. You don't do any other mitzvah. Almost any other mitzvah you don't do, right? Any mitzvah you don't have money, too bad. You don't do it. But this is an exception. But it says when they give them out to tzedakah, they got to give them at least 4 cups of wine. The Gemara is an interesting question. It's based on, look at this long piece of article. We're not going to go through the whole, I could just read this piece the whole time. But we're not doing the whole thing. Here it says, the Gemara has a question. Heichi metakti, we're on 109b in Pesachim. How could it be, in English, that the rabbis institute something which can come to danger? So when I'm asking this question right now, we stop halfway through the question. The Gemara says, how do you institute 4 cups of wine, Eliezer? I is dangerous. Why is 4 cups of wine dangerous? So the first answer you're going to think, why is dangerous? The normal person would say, because 4 cups of wine, I know what people look like, I got 4 cups of wine. That's not what it says. No. That is, by the way, one of the answers. It says like this. Why is it 4 cups of wine dangerous? Vasanya, interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, it's been taught in a brisa. A person should not either eat nor drink nor do anything in Piers. Piers, P-A-I-R-S. P-A-I-R-S. Why? Doesn't say why. But I'm telling you why. Because it is, I would say bad omen. I don't know if it's the right word. It's black magic. I don't know what you call it. That's what Oscar has a whole long thing here. Beginning with the subject of Piers, we'll discuss. I don't want to go that far. There's literally there's like 10 paragraphs on Oscar.
Zugo.
Oh, here it says. The first section of Agamemnon said, Oscar gave you 10 paragraphs of an introduction until now. We're going to the second part of it. The first section of Agamemnon discusses sorcery, demons, insofar as dangerous peers are concerned. Simply put, we're going to do the simple version. This means that one should not consume numbers of even numbers. And here Oscar gives an explanation. One of the reasons given, it represents dualism. It's a heretical belief that there are two deities. Deities. Anyway, the point is, when you do drinks in pairs, eat in pairs, two oranges, two cups, what happens is, you now created yourself to be a vehicle to be susceptible to, I don't know, demons.
Only on the sofa?
No. Good question, though.
All year round?
All year round. That's what Gemara is saying.
Two grapes?
No, do not have two grapes. Eat a third, or eat one and a half, or two and a half, as the Gemara stops right now. Now, the reason why Oscar has 10 paragraphs here is because there is a question how much of this is applicable today. And do we even believe that it ever existed? So Maimonides famously said that he doesn't believe the whole thing at all. But many commentators disagree with Maimonides, and they say that's not true. Because you go through the Chumash, you go through the Torah, you go through the stories, it seems to be we do believe in these negative sources. I never watched that thing with the Star Trek. I never watched this stuff. Was it called Evil Forces? I don't even know the stuff. But yes, we do believe in this. So now the question is a simple question. How do the rabbis, since the rabbinic obligation, set up 4 cups of wine? Don't do 4 cups of wine. Do 5, do 3. Let's go through the answers first. But that's the Gemara's question. It's dangerous that the rabbi set up danger. First Gemara's answer. Amar of Nachman. Rav Nachman gives the first answer. We have to keep kezim. Because the pasuk says we don't have it in front of us. It's a pasuk in Lel Shemurim, which means it's a night of guardings for all the children of Israel, which means, Oscar's word, a night which is guarded from the time onward against harmful spirits. There's a special power, Passover by night, special power, Passover night, that we are not afraid of evil spirits. So yes, the rest of the year, do not do things in pairs. The rabbis would certainly never tell you to do things in pairs. But on Passover night, we're not afraid. Now, that's the first answer of the Talmud. We'll do the next two and we'll come back to this. Just to have it down. Rabbah says, that was Rav Nachman. Rabbah says a different answer. He says that the third cup, which is said over grace after meals, over benching, that's a joker card in gambling. Keeps drinking and gambling. It's all together. No, oh, sorry. No. Yeah. Okay, 10-second runoff. What it means is this. It's a joker card. The Kaisel Bracha of benching counts either direction you want it to count. That means if it's cup number 3, you'll count it as 3. And if it's cup number 4, you won't count it. It'll stay at 3. So even though we have 4 cups, we have the joker card cup. The joker card cup doesn't count. We only have 3 cups. Interesting answer. We have a joker card cup. That's what it means. And only the benching one is. We're not going down black magic road tonight.
Explain that again. What does that mean?
That
second cup?
It's actually the third. But the third cup, which is the grace after meals cup, the benching cup, it says these words, the cup of blessing combines with other cups for good and not for bad. Oscar will just read now. If one drank two cups of wine and then recited Birkas HaMazon over a third cup, the cup combines and becomes three cups for the good. He's considered having drinking three. On the other hand, arch scroll, if, does it say it? Yeah. If one happens on Seder night to drink two cups, the cup of Birkas HaMazon, and then as the last one is the fourth, it will not count if you went out of water. So this cup of Birkas HaMazon, which applies all year round, when I say drink two cups of wine according to the first person, who says, no, only Pesach is different. You got to be careful all year round. Correct. So, but benching never counts. Benching is a joker card all year round. So the joker card can be played as a yes or as a no. That black magic we're not getting into. Correct. All four have blessings. All four cups of wine are created over four types of blessings we make. The blessing of benching throughout the whole year can yes be counted or not be counted in your favor. All year round. In your favor, not your favor. That's the second answer to Gemara. So the first answer to Gemara is always be careful. Right? That's what I said. So the first answer is all year round be nervous. Special thing on Passover night. Second answer is the blessing is A of the cup plays as a yes or a no. You have your choice on how to count it. So most people will not count it. You only left for three cups. The third answer is Ravina. Is that not, who says it's called four cups? Why do we call it four cups? It's four, one cups. You have one cup four times. In order to be a peer, there has to be a connection. He doesn't say that. He says, even though I'm reading the English, even though the rabbis enact that we drink four cups at the Seder, that we may demonstrate to conduct freedom, each one of the cups, their English is pretty good, each one of their cups is a mitzvah by itself. So if each one's by itself, it's not called four cups.
Because you don't say, this is the third cup I'm drinking tonight. This is the fourth cup I'm drinking tonight. You say, this is a cup of drink.
That's what it should be then. I don't know if people say that, but that's what it should be.
But do you ever say, this is the second cup? I mean, you tell people, okay, pick up your wine, fill your cups. But do you say...
It happens to be that in the Zera Emes this week, that question comes up. That only one cup gets a name, Eliyahu's cup, not the other four. But yes, either way, let's see what they say about it. Each cup was ordained for a separate mitzvah. Then it lists the mitzvahs. Therefore, since each cup is a separate entity, instituted for its own mitzvah, they do not combine to constitute peers. Three. This is a basic Gemara. Right now we did art scroll Gemara. But the Gemara had a question, how to have four? We gave three different answers. One is Pesach is different. One is the cup, third cup is different. And one is, there's not four cups at all. That's not true. We don't have four cups at all. Yes, if we want to count them to keep our cheshbon, because we're drinking four cups and we're drunk, we might be able to do that. But then they're not four cups, it's separate four cups.
Question. Let's say the person makes a one cup, and let's say a Yossi on his cup. So yep. How does that count?
Counts as one cup, you're good.
All right, so even though you only took a drop of his wine, counts as one cup.
Okay.
Just want to make sure I got that.
Probably.
That's number one.
Yes.
Wait, is it?
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, I don't know. You have to have a minimum, maybe. We're not going into that, but yeah. We're talking about spirits. I don't know.
About Passover.
No, I think he's asking a halachic question.
You're talking about halachically for Passover or about evil spirits?
Talking about Passover.
In Passover,
you're Yossi on his cup.
No.
All right.
No. Let's start over. Okay. Good point, by the way. Good point. We almost messed up here. No, listen. Passover, there's a difference. This is the famous Priska Rav on Tosfos. It's a machlok. We're showing him. Let's go over. In general, when you go to a Seder, for some reason, at every Seder, we discussed this many years ago, we do not have three matzahs in front of every person. Most of the time, not. But we do have a separate cup in front of every person. On a Friday night, well, it depends what you eat. Some guys make their own kiddush, some guys don't. By Passover night, almost every person recites his own blessing. Almost every Seder. Not everyone, but almost every Seder. And almost every person has his own cup in front of them. The reason is different is this. This is the lumdus of the Briska family. Normally, your obligation by Kiddush at night is that someone make a blessing. For the meal, we're going to have a blessing. The main part of it might be, in simplistic terms, the blessing. So if I hear you give a blessing, that's fine. I don't have to drink at all. In fact, you go to many homes on Friday nights, not everyone drinks. Not everyone drinks. One person has to say Kiddush for the entire table, no one has to drink.
Say amen,
but you don't have to drink. Again, the custom is everyone drinks, but you don't have to. If you did not drink, you fulfill your obligation 100%. This is a secondary thing to drink. Okay, you didn't do the secondary thing. You're fine. But on Passover night, it's on the person to drink four cups of wine. It's not that the table needs a blessing. The person must drink. This minor difference is a major difference. It will be a difference in how much people get a cup and how much you must drink. So on a regular Kiddush Friday night, you know how much you have to drink? Zero. But on a Passover night, you have to drink what's called a cup of wine. Now, what is called a cup of wine? Ask your local rabbi. The lowest form is going to be 3 ounces, most of the cup. That's the cheapest. That's the cheap. That's when God forbid someone's sick. They'll tell you buy a 3 ounce cup and drink most, because you must have most of the cup, because it's a cup concept also. We're not fighting about that. What did you say? Yeah, and you must have a cheekful. You got to have a cheekful of that. On a regular Friday night, when you sip and you don't like it, okay. Sip and go on. Nobody cares. So we're not even on sorcery right now. So you've gone down to the regular world.
So when he makes the kiddush, you have to drink at least three or three and a half ounces.
Some don't. You should have your own cup in front of you. And make your own kiddush. Ideally make your own kiddush. Which you can do in English.
Together?
You can do it together, of course. Yeah. Whatever, depends on what time you have, how many people you have. Gotta be, you know, you have 35 people to say that. I wouldn't go around to each person personally. I don't think it's a smart idea.
So says it together.
Yeah, you could do it together, yeah. Now, if you're uncomfortable reading it, you could listen to him 100%, like it, everything, Shemaya Karina, listen to him, but you got to have that cup in front of you and drink it.
But ideally, you should say it out loud with the host, right?
If the host allows it. Ideally, listen to the host. I'm serious. No, that's not even a joke. Ideally, what the host wants is what you do. So the host might say, whisper to yourself. The host might say, do nothing. It depends on who you're eating by. Okay, now let's go back to sorcery. We're discussing sorcery tonight, did you?
Is it because I'm your...
No, the real reason I'm not here because I'm at home. I'm going away to Pesach. That's the real reason. No. Oh, I spoke to that guy today. Okay, let's go back to reality here. Now, just know, do we believe that is what we practice, what we preach? The first answer, we hopefully, depending on what time we have, we're going to discuss if the other two answers, what do they hold? In general, most Jews practice this idea that Passover night is a special night, what I say, protected from evil spirits. In fact, there is a custom, I don't know if I recommend it in Brooklyn Heights or in Miami, but there is a custom that some people, there's three ways to do this custom. They leave their door open the entire night. It's a night of protection. Physically open, unlocked, depends which custom you're going with, but there is a custom to leave it open. We said a second ago, we open the door, they ask a question. When you're saying Halach Manya, in the beginning of the Seder, you say, all poor people invited in. Just curious. Is the door open to announce that, make an announcement? I don't know, there might be a custom out there, I'm not aware of it right now. But as far as I know, over the years, I've never seen someone go to the door, begin the Seder, and open them and say, all poor people, come on in. At the end of the night, we have a custom by most people, not all but most, that we go and open the door. And you know what we do when we open the door? Down with the non-Jews! Curse out Amalek! That sounds pretty backward, by the way. We're inviting poor people in. We're like, yeah, that's the wink-wink invitation. But on the other hand, when I'm saying down with the Goyim, I mean, how often are we walking down the street and saying down with the Goyim? I mean, that's not highly recommended. So some say, what is this weird custom? At the end of the night? Down with the Goyim, and if you look at the Agada, by the way, now you'll look at the Agada. It always says open the door. It never says close the door. Maybe now Oscar did it. In the old Agada, it says open the door at this point and say these things. It doesn't say after. Now most people say I. Question: what we're opening it for? But we're definitely opening it. Are we closing it? So some want to say the reason we open the door at the end of the night is to show at Elio. You know what we did before Elio? What did we do right before Elio? We drank the fourth cup.
Yeah, that's right.
So we want to show the world, you know what? We drank four cups. Uh-oh. Sorcery. Demons. What was the other word they used there? They had another good word there. Besides demons. I forgot what it was here. Anyone remember what I said? There's another good word. I got to find it now. Anyway, demons and...
He got Eliyahu's cup.
Sorcery and demons. But we drank four cups. You know what we say? We're not afraid. Because we're not afraid on this night. We open the door. We're not afraid. Guess what? There's a custom that we don't say the whole Shema at night. You know, you say that Shema thing at night and you go to bed. Part of what you say at night is protection. Rama says it's not me. Rama, 1500s, who's the source, sorcery, the source for all Ashkenaz customs. You know what he says? You don't say it at night. Why not? Why not? We're not afraid. What's going to happen? You go to sleep? Who cares? There are many customs that are done. Most people do not dip matzah into salt at the Seder. Now, the question why we dip salt, different reasons. One of the reasons why you dip salt is based on demons and sorcery. So the custom is brought down. Guess what? Passover night, we're clean. We got nothing to worry about. No demons attacking me. No matzah in the wine. There are many practical laws that occur on Passover night based on the fact that we go with the first answer of the Gemara, including the Gemara says eating. The Gemara gives one answer, that we drink in pairs because we don't care. But I'll go through some of them.
I still don't know how to go with the guy who was supplying that.
Also, all the enemies should be destroyed.
Oh, all the enemies should be destroyed. That's something.
So a major question. Ask Rabbi Yashav.
All enemies should be destroyed.
You know, when's the last time you screamed that in the street? And if you do, don't stand next to me. Don't be next to me when you're screaming that nonsense.
Say that with the guy who says all enemies should be destroyed.
It's bringing wrath down on the nations. Bring your wrath down on the nations.
The nations are going, literally, be going.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes. Again, don't say it in front of me. Say it when I'm not around.
By the way, the Shadim don't do Seder.
No.
Excellent. In fact, we have an halacha, more than a custom. If food is placed under a bed, classic case. We discussed years ago. We discussed years ago in a baby carriage. Rosen's not going to remember that. Long time ago. What? If you leave food under a bed, camp, we had that, if you remember that. If you leave food, I don't know if you went to camp, food on the bed, you don't touch the food the next day. The food's spiritually demons. I don't know what the word is. We don't touch that food. We don't eat that food. No blessing on that food. But you know what the commentators bring down? Passover night. You can put stuff under the bed. We're not worried. They ain't around. They got no power. Passover night, keep them under the bed. Because the sorcery stuff that we are practically observing today. Because not everyone says this with the bed. That's why. Very good. He's saying this because the camera didn't hear it, repeating it. Some have the custom not, but it only applies when you go to sleep. If you put food under the bed, according to most, food under the bed is not the problem. It's the sleeping on top of it. So if they say it, I don't know, but there are definitely customs that say if food is under the bed, we don't let people walk alone at night. If you know, by Myra, we have an extended Myra. We add in that bracha at the end of Myra, before Shemoneh Esrei. Right, okay, that's right. Friday night, we do we do like a fake Chazar Shashat. The reason we do that, according to many commentators, is because people come late. We don't want anyone leaving alone. You're not allowed to leave a shul if the one guy's left in the shul on a regular night. In the old days, it applied seriously because the shuls were in the fields and they don't want someone walk home alone. Passover night, we say halal, depends where you are. But otherwise, we tell people, no, don't worry about it. Go home alone. You know why? We're not afraid. Going home alone was not afraid only the arguments, only of being attacked by a non-Jew. It was afraid of evil spirits. Evil spirits don't exist on Passover night, according to the Psalm. An amazing question I once saw. Rabbi Yashav had a question. Someone was strict on the custom. He left his door open physically. Passover night. Not always does it work out in your favor. And 4 cups of wine, heavy sleep, right? Fell asleep, out cold, he's smiling. And the guy got robbed. So he went to Rabbi Yashav and he told Rabbi Yashav, I'm following the minhag. No, you know, that's the custom. That means when the guy lent me the item, not lent me, told me to watch the item as a guardian, he had to know this. Rabbi Yashav said, you gotta pay. That stringency is on yourself. Not for him. You got to pay. So we have this idea.
He got to pay. He got robbed.
Yeah, but when you take on to watch someone, guardian or something, you take on that.
Oh, he was guarding someone else's
money. Yes, guarding someone else's money. So we have here many realities, by the way. In fact, to answer another custom, we have a thing that if water or drinks or liquids are left over, even solid some, left over without covered or washed overnight, people don't eat from that stuff. Some people, I'm adding this on, leave the kosher yo. What do you do with kosher yo? You fill it up, then what? Depends on how tired you are, right? What are you doing with kosher yo? Some people wait till the next morning. Then what are you going to do? You lost the whole cup. On this night, people don't care. Because one of the reasons, again, there's different reasons. According to the reason why you're not allowed to eat, drink, food that was left over, uncovered overnight, it's because we're afraid of evil spirits. Passover night, no evil spirits. The Gemara says because of snakes, so those people are strict. That's why I said according to that reason. But what we have here now, in practical terms for sure, because we all know you don't say Shema at night, that's for sure, that's a given. We all know we do open the door at some point at night. There are practical laws that we consider at the night of Pesach that we do not observe or yes observe based on evil spirits not existing. In fact, some, again, there's different reasons. Some don't do Mayim Achronim. You know, after the meal, you do water, some wash their hands before you bench. Some don't do a Passover night. Again, it depends what the reason is. If the reason why you wash your hands before you bench is because of sorcery, because of demons, because of evil spirits, they don't do a Passover night. So we have practical things. The question is this. When we read our Gemara, One guy said Passover. We go with the majority. We had a question. How did they set up peers? P-A-I-R-S. Four cups of wine, four is peers, sorcery. We gave three answers. Number one answer was, tonight's a good night. We're good to go. Okay, but two other people didn't give that answer. One said that the cup of benching is the Joker card. Charles doesn't like the words. And one said it's not four cups, it's one cup times four. So we have two out of three saying that, not giving an easy answer. Why is that? Why is that? Does everyone agree to this? We're going like everyone agrees. Is that true? Maybe two people in the Talmud don't agree. So someone will explain that what it means is, they say like this, I don't have to come on to how impressive the night is. You're starting with a question. We have four cups of wine. Four cups, you can't do it. So they're answering, no, that's not a problem at all. It's not a problem. Not because it's not a problem because of Passover night. It's not a problem because cup number three is a Joker card and it's not four cups of wine. So the question doesn't start. I agree with you that on Passover night, there's no evil spirits roaming the streets. I agree with you, sorcery, I'm not concerned about. I agree with you, I'm going to do all these things, let a guy walk alone, not say, sure, I'm going to do all these things. You're asking me a question on the four cups is not relevant. That's a someone answer. So that means all three people agree that there is nothing to worry about by Passover night. We just give you different answers. We're telling you it's not necessary. Some do it the opposite way. They flip it. They say, no. That, yeah, it's a watch night. It has powers, no sorcery, but not for the peers. The peers is a different set. That means, are you afraid of demons walking the streets? No. Do you say Shema? No. But the peer sorcery, that's a serious thing. So is the peer sorcery more serious, and therefore we should be more concerned, therefore we need another answer, which means only some demons don't show up Passover night, or no, everyone agrees demons don't show up Passover night. But this question is going to be tied into another Talmudic passage. That's what's wild. We have a Gemara here, very relevant to us, hopefully in the next couple of days. And the Gemara says that we have an argument here in 11b Rosh Hashanah. Kedisanya in the scripture says, first one says, B'tishrei, in the month of Tishrei, when we have all the holidays, the Jews are destined to be redeemed. Gemara examines it. Rabbi Yeshua says, B'nisan, we always say, this month, in the month of Nisan, they were redeemed from Egypt. And just like they were redeemed once, they'll be redeemed again. Argument in the Talmud. What is the optimum month to be redeemed? Rabbi Yeshua says in Nisan. Rabbi Elazar says in Tishrei. Okay, that sounds cute, but do you have any sources? Yeah, we're going to do the sources. Rabbi Yeshua, who says the optimum month to be redeemed, which, because we once got redeemed, Don't we have that commercial, depends how old you are? Past results are not indicative of future results. What's the past success? Right? So what's going on here? So no, I'm a pasuk. We read it last week. The Pasuk 9. 9 is Exodus 12:42. Pasuk says, when it's talking about the Exodus of Egypt, it says, I'll read the whole words. Here it says in entirety, it is a night of anticipation for Hashem to take them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night for Hashem, anticipation for all the children of Israel, for the generations. Generations. Lel Shimurim, like we said. This Pasuk is the same Pasuk quoted over here. So in answer number one over here, it says Lel Shimurim. It's a night of, what did I just say, of protection. It says it here as well. Night of protection means for future generations. Therefore, it's always going to be redeemed. We could always be redeemed, hopefully in the next 10 days. But the other Talmud says, wait a second, there's a rabbi who didn't say that. There's a rabbi who said, we get redeemed, Tishrei. Ah, we have a pasuk. He says, it doesn't mean redemption. What does it mean? It's a night of what? Protection. Not redemption, protection from evil spirits. How do you read the pasuk, these words, Lel Shimurim? Lel Shimurim means either a night of anticipation for a future redemption, or it means it's a night of protection from evil spirits. You have an open Talmud here that seems to say there's an open disagreement, which would mean when you have three theories here, wouldn't it make sense to say they're arguing about whether or not there's a night of protection? Let's get this straight, the system. Over here, we had three answers on why we drink in pairs. One said it's a night of protection. Two others gave different answers. We said, are they arguing? Not necessarily. Go back, rewind the tape to know that maybe they're not arguing. Because you don't want arguments. So you say, no, they're not really arguing. Everyone agrees it's a protection, but maybe not for evil spirits, or maybe we don't even need it. But we have a problem here. What are you going to do over here? Tosfos here. A little Tosfos. You know, on the base on top. Says, by the way, everyone agrees it's a night of protection for from evil spirits? Because this Gemara says it. Very strange. Does this Gemara really say it? I don't know. There's three answers here. But Tosfos here, not everyone agrees to the Tosfos, says openly that both rabbis who say, one says we redeem in Nisan, one says we redeem in Tishrei, agree that, by the way, when you read this pasuk, it's a night of protection from the evil spirits.
In the Talmud. Was it four?
A rule on which part? The when we're redeemed or when or why we have peers? Peers with three rabbis with three answers. I'm about a ruling. They explained that why we do peers. Here we have two rabbis.
What was the
majority? Can't be. Two out of three can't say.
SB2.
Right? And two out of three didn't say it's a night of protection. So the easy way is to try to fit them in and figure out how they really agree to protection but have different answers anyway. I agree with your answer. I'm giving you a different answer. But when you read this, it seems like an open argument. And Petra says, no, open argument. What we have, we're going to end here. What we have in short is, next Thursday, Wednesday night. That's also a question. Is it Wednesday night and Thursday night? But if it's only Wednesday night, that would explain why they need two different answers. Let me do that again. The first one answered that it's a night of protection. What's a night of protection? Is it both nights a night of protection? Maybe he lived in Israel. In Israel, the one night is a night of protection. When we created a second night holiday, that's not. The spirits, by the way, they didn't get that phone call. A friend of mine told me a great joke today. 10 minutes ago, he told me like this. He was in his class. He had his question. He's in eighth grade class. He asked the eighth graders, we changed the clock and we gained an hour. How does the sun know that we gained the hour? Who told the sun? And a bunch of eighth graders would come up with all different types of answers. Like God told them. The sun started an hour later, so he knew he has to end an hour later. He was telling me all these funny answers on the eighth grade kids. Part of a question on a test. So to flip back to our question, did the demons get a call and say, by the way, the rabbis added a second night, we expect you to go along with it? Right, so that becomes a question. If it means the second night, you can say it doesn't mean the second night, and that's why two other rabbis came up with it, or you can say they're arguing if it means the second night. They all agree on the first night, they argue on the second night. Which means the first night next week, according to a thesis we did, according to many commentators, is a night of protection. And that means whether you believe, even though night of protection means you might think it's not a night of redemption, but Tosfos tells us it's a night of redemption, a month of redemption. So we hope that the reason why you guys, Yedidja and Eliezer, are not invited to my house next week is because we'll all be in Jerusalem with the Karban Pesach.